Welcome to NBA Talk with Isaac Wolf. I am your host, Isaac Wolf. The Summer League is underway. We are going to recap all of what has happened so far. But first, I want to talk about some of the minor signings that have happened in the aftermath of the load of free agent signings in the first few days. These guys signed a little bit later than everyone else. Gorgui Dieng is returning to the Spurs after spending a little bit of time with the Hawks. TJ Warren signed with the Nets in wake of the Kevin Durant news. So if Durant's not there, he's probably their starting small forward, which is likely why he signed. I think he's hoping Durant is out of there soon enough. Edmund Sumner also signed with the Nets. Thomas Bryant going back to the team that drafted him, the Los Angeles Lakers. That was 5 years ago. Then he went to Washington in the Russell Westbrook deal, if I'm not mistaken. Unless he just signed with them, I forget. But he is headed back to LA, and that is a good piece at center for them, because it has been said that Anthony Davis does not like playing the five. So we'll see how that all works out. Jericho Sims, a former two-way player with the Knicks, re-signed with New York on a three-year NBA contract, and he showed out at the Summer League a few days ago. The Grizzlies re-signed John Conchar, the undrafted shooter from Purdue Fort Wayne. 3 years, $19 million for him. Frank Kaminsky is joining the Hawks on a one-year deal. Taj Gibson was waived by the Knicks and is going to Washington as a result. And Damian Lillard just signed a two-year, $122 million extension with the Portland Trailblazers. That brings his total contract value to about 5 years and $260 million, I think is what I heard. But he's getting paid $61 million if you average it out. I'm sure there's different money amounts for each year. He'll probably get paid more next year than he does this year. But when you divide that, he's going to get paid $61 million per year during those 2 years. That is insane. That's an insane annual income for Damian Lillard. But hey, he deserves all of it because he is showing that he's still committed to the Trailblazers, even though they are not in a situation to win right now. As for the Summer League, we start with Chet Holmgren's debut. He put the pressure on Banchero to show out in his first game because he looked like the number one pick in his first game against Utah. This was in the Salt Lake City Summer League. He was everywhere, knocking down threes, blocking shots, hitting Dirk fadeaways, one-legged fadeaways. His passing was on point too, and I was wondering how he'd fare against the size of the Jazz because they have two of the biggest guys in the Summer League. They have Kofi Coburn, the undrafted rookie from Illinois, and they have Taco Fall. But he did just fine. He exposed them on the perimeter, and he held his own on the inside, blocked both Coburn and Fall down low, finished with 23 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 6 blocks. He's 7-9 from the field, 4-6 from 3, 5-5 from the free throw line. The 6 blocks are a Summer League record, and he says he's coming to break it again. It was a very impressive outing from Chet. On offense, he cooked Taco and Kofi. He pulled up in their face time and time again from outside after creating just enough space to get the shot off. Defensively, he was blocking everybody, blocked Kofi, stuffed Taco, stuffed Vic Law on a dunk attempt. That was nasty, two hands. And he had a nice play where he blocked a Jazz player, got his own rebound, dribbled up the floor, and made a nice dump-off pass to Jalen Williams, who laid it in. He was spectacular. He was efficient. He was exciting to watch. In his second game, he had a double-double, 11 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists and 2 blocks, kind of came back to earth, 3 of 11 from the field, got big-boyed by Kenneth Lofton Jr. of the Grizzlies on some early possessions in the paint, but this was expected. We shouldn't be overreacting to either one of these games because it's the Summer League, but still, it's nice to see what the top picks are capable of. That guy I just mentioned, Kenneth Lofton Jr., he's a Grizzlies undrafted rookie out of Louisiana Tech, and this guy is massive. And when I say massive, I mean massive. He's 6'6", 280 pounds. He weighs as much as Joel Embiid, but he's about 7 inches shorter. He's built like a lineman, but he's one of the most skilled basketball players I've ever seen at that size. Scored 19 in the Grizzlies' second game in Salt Lake City, bullied Chet Holmgren like I talked about. I mean, he literally cleared him out, shoved him, or not shoved, just put his shoulder into him, bullied him under the basket. Just with his pure size, it was a little concerning for Holmgren, but at the same time, it was expected. Lofton is crazy skilled for his size. He does his best work on the interior. He's a throwback post player when he catches it on the block. Can finish with either hand, even though he's left hand dominant. Uses his body well makes space by bullying defenders out of the way, or creates contact and draws a lot of fouls that way. He can handle the ball. He can attack the rim from the perimeter. Has a great bag. He really does. Of one-on-one moves. He's shifty for his size. And he's showing the ability to hit from outside despite only shooting 20-ish percent. Like, he was really bad in college. He hit a few threes. I saw him hit a few threes and stretch the floor in his games in Salt Lake City. He hit a deep one too to beat the shot clock. He's a solid rebounder. He's a really good passer, and he's one of my favorite undrafted prospects on a two-way deal with the Grizzlies. He's a perfect fit for them, I think. I expect him to stay with the big club more so than their G League team, the Hustle, but he'll definitely start down there, probably dominate, get called up, and maybe find himself in the rotation in the second half of the season, depending on his defensive performance. He's a bit of a liability on that end due to lack of lateral quickness, lack of activity. He's got to take some big steps forward on that end if he wants to play with the Grizz. Bruno Caboclo. This guy did not play in Chet's debut, but he was in the lineup for the Jazz's next game. And since the Jazz are without a center, they should take a chance on Caboclo. 6'9", he's 220 pounds, 7'6 wingspan. He's got a 7'6 wingspan at 6'9". That is impressive. He showed out in two games in Salt Lake City. He had 16.6 rebounds, two assists, two steals, and two blocks in his first game, and then 17, 7, and three blocks in his second game. And he's got 4 years of NBA experience with the Raptors, the Rockets, the Kings, and the Grizzlies. So he should be playing better than most of the summer league guys. But Utah, after trading Gobert, doesn't have a center. Walker Kessler he's going to be all right, but he's young. I don't think he's ready to start right away. They traded for Jared Vanderbilt, who's naturally a four and just a rebounder, so I don't really like him at the five. Caboclo can protect the rim, finish well on the inside, and has now shown the ability to shoot as well. Knocked down a few threes so far in those two games, and this might just be the spot for him. The Jazz also have Kofi Coburn and Taco Fall on their summer league roster, but I don't see any of them, either of them with the modern game. It's hard seeing either of those two having much success. They can't stretch the floor at all. Caboclo can, and I think he's a viable option for them at that center position. Continue to watch him throughout the summer league. Paolo Banchero and Jabari Smith played against each other Thursday night. It was the Magic against the Rockets, the first game in Vegas at the Thomas and Mack Center. And Banchero flat out outplayed Jabari. Not as great of a debut as Holmgren, but still really good. 17 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 of 12 from the field, knocked down a couple threes, got to the line. An all-around good game for him. Jabari, just 10 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 of 10 from the field. The jumper wasn't really consistent. He didn't get the ball a lot either. Josh Christopher was really aggressive looking to score when he was in, which was fine. He did well, 22 points to lead all scorers, but just didn't look to dish it as often. And I think that held Jabari back just a bit. In all honesty, Jabari looked lost defensively. The Rockets were clearly lacking chemistry. There was a lack of a team feel, I felt, with this group, which doesn't benefit anyone either. But Smith's man was constantly open on the perimeter. Whether it was a miscommunication or he couldn't keep up with him or there was a failure to switch or fight through a screen, he looked confused and disoriented on that end way too often. And it hurt the Rockets. It really did. Caleb Houston burned them for 5 threes. He had 20 points in this game for the Magic. All in all, still not putting too much stock in the summer league, but it does show you some things you can take note of. Paolo outshines Jabari in game one of many between the two. The Detroit Pistons got off to a great start against the Portland Trailblazers in their first game. And I'm predicting... Well, I was predicting that they were going to win the whole thing, but there was an injury to top pick Jaden Ivey, which we will talk about in a second, that I think is going to prevent them from getting to, the Summer League Championship. But I thought it was going to come down to Oklahoma City and Detroit. And that's if Isaiah Stewart plays the whole time. I think he's going to, because he's already played 2 or 3 games. Because sometimes the guys with a lot of NBA experience on these summer league rosters are thrown on those rosters just to make sure that they dominate like they're supposed to and that they're still on the up. And then once they play like expected, they'll sit out the rest and let the other guys develop. Stewart started every game he played for the Pistons last year. He had 13-9 in his first game. So there's a chance that that happens with him and possibly Saben Lee. Killian Hayes, we saw him play the first game. He's not playing the second game. He's probably done for the summer league. But if that team stays together, I was going to pick them to win it all, but now the injury to Jaden Ivey has me questioning that. Jaden Ivey was amazing, though. In his first game, he had 20 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and alley-ooped to Jalen Duren on the first play of the game. He was just so electric. There were times I think he went a little too fast, out of control in certain moments, but overall, he was great. It was a strong debut for him. Jalen Duren, he didn't play much in this game. He only played 11 minutes, I think, because the trade that brought him to Detroit, it was a draft day trade between New York and Detroit via Charlotte, or Charlotte via New York, one of the two. And so the trade didn't go through. Duren couldn't practice with the team until the day before their first game. So he really didn't know he didn't know the system that well. Not that any of these guys do that well, but he didn't play a ton, likely because of just the lack of practice reps with the team. When he did play, though, he was very impactful. He started the game, 9 points in 11 minutes, 3 loud dunks right away, 2 lobs, including the one on the first play. I liked what I saw from him. 24 points off the bench combined from Braxton Key and Saben Lee, two guys who were with the team last year. Pistons win 81-78. Shaden Sharp for the Trailblazers, just 2 points in 5 minutes. He has a small labral tear in his left shoulder. That happened in the first quarter. He's done for the summer league. Tough break for him, especially since he hasn't had game action in well over a year. Benedict Mathurin, a fantastic debut with the Pacers. His scoring ability was on full display, 23 points in basically 20 minutes. The Pacers win 96-84, but the score differential was a lot worse than that. It was a 26-point game at one point in the second half and stayed around there for the majority of the fourth quarter. Some garbage buckets at the end made the score difference a little more respectable. The Pacers are a great team. Like what the Rockets were lacking, the Pacers had it abundantly. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I need to see from Houston. The team element that these Pacers have is amazing. They hype each other up. They help each other up. Everyone's high-fiving each other. They're unselfish. They're having fun on the court. They've got a bunch of the main guys from the team sitting courtside supporting Halliburton, Brissett, Jalen Smith. It's such a positive environment with this team, and it helped them. I really think it helped them blow out the Hornets in their first game. Other notable performances from day one in Vegas. Cam Thomas. We know this about Cam Thomas. He's a scorer. Kid from LSU, led the nation in scoring. Last year or 2 years ago as a freshman, I'd have to double check that. I know he averaged like 23, 24 points a game in college, or maybe led all freshmen in scoring. That's probably what it was. But he's a scorer. Didn't get much time with the Nets, but when he was with the Long Island Nets, because obviously the Nets were loaded roster-wise this year, with the Long Island Nets, he was crazy in the G League scoring. And he scored 31 against the Bucks in his first Summer League game. I don't know if he's going to play the rest of the Summer League because he's just too good for it. Christian Brown, rookie from Kansas, 18 points in his debut against the Timberwolves. Moses Moody for the Warriors, second-year player out of Arkansas, had 34 against the Knicks. I'm pretty sure that's the most anybody has scored so far in a single game. Quentin Grimes had 24, 4, and 8 assists for the Knicks. Jericho Sims, 16 points, 10 rebounds. The guy who just signed a 3-year NBA contract. 7 of 8 from the field. 3 huge dunks. This guy has an insane vertical, and he's 6'11". Like, when he goes up for a lob, he flies. Like, his head, his nose is practically at the rim. It is some of the most unbelievable stuff I've seen. Scottie Pippen Jr. had 19 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals in the Lakers' first Las Vegas game. He was doing well in the California Classic for them. Marko Simonovic, 27 points, 13 rebounds, 3 blocks for the Bulls, had the game-winning offensive rebound, got fouled, hit a free throw to make the final score 100-99 against the Dallas Mavericks. Jaden Hardy had 28 points for the Dallas Mavericks in that game. The second-round pick from the G League Ignite. He's definitely a score and a steal for the Dallas Mavericks at whatever it was, 43 or 46, where they drafted him. He is a steal. When we come back, we will talk about day 2 of the Las Vegas Summer League, some standouts, and other great matchups from day 2. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to NBA Talk with Isaac Wolf. I'm your host, Isaac Wolf. Day two of the Summer League provided probably the best game so far between Paolo Banchero and Keegan Murray, Magic and Kings. This game was just amazing. Forget the individual matchup. The actual game itself was great and so much fun to watch. The Kings were down 10 with a little over a minute to go, and after a few plays, it was down to a six-point game with 7 seconds left. Magic were in the lead. Seems like a pretty much locked up win, right? Think again. Namish Keita, the big man, out of the timeout on a great play drawn up, hits a three. I have never seen this guy shoot from further than 15 feet before. I've never seen him shoot from beyond the free throw line. But he knocks down the three to cut the lead in half to three. That was his first attempt of the game, probably first attempt of... I wouldn't be surprised if it was the first attempt of his career. I literally have not seen him shoot beyond the free throw line. But he knocked down the three in the biggest moment of the game. He's got a decent stroke. I mean, why not let it fly? I mean, he was open in that situation, so he had to. But anyway, 4 seconds left after the K to three. Banchero tries to inbound it to RJ Hampton. Hampton fumbles the sloppy pass from Banchero, and it ends up in the hands of Keegan Murray, who runs back to the three-point line, Reggie Miller style, makes the slightest of pump fakes to send Hampton and Banchero flying in the air. Like, it was insane that they both totally fell for it. He's left open after the pump fake, and he knocks down the three with 0.2 of a second left to tie the game and send it into overtime. You had to be there. You had to watch. It was just insane in the moment. Then in the 2-minute overtime period, the teams traded buckets. Banchero hit a tough turnaround, and Keita finished on the pick and roll on the other end. Then a few possessions later, Keon Ellis for the Kings banks in a deep three to break the tie. Devin Kennedy gets fouled on a three, makes all three free throws for the Magic. We are tied again. Keon Ellis for the Kings drives in on the other end and is absolutely swatted, just obliterated on a floater by Emmanuel Terry after a nice fake handoff. It was really a good play, but Terry, just great help side defense, just absolutely swatted it. Kennedy for the Magic nearly misses a beyond half-court shot for the win. So we go to double overtime, which in the Summer League, is sudden death. Yes, we have sudden death overtime in the Summer League. It's pretty entertaining. Banchero calls for isolation, turns it over. The Kings on the other end throw a lob to Keita, but Banchero blocks it from behind. However, it's called a foul, which after review, it was overturned, which was the right decision to make because clearly it was one of the greatest defensive plays I've seen in a long time. Banchero Kata's a 7-footer. Now, Banchero's 6'10 and very athletic, but still, Kata's got a lot of size and a lot of length. But Banchero made a great, great play coming from behind Kata, and somehow knocked the ball out without fouling him or hitting him in the head. Like, whenever someone comes up to block you from behind, they almost always hit you in the head. Somehow, Banchero, just one of the greatest blocks I've seen, and took away the alley-oop without fouling Keita. So, the Magic get the ball back, and Emmanuel Terry finishes the game-winning layup over the big man, Keita. Magic win 94-90. To Paolo Banchero, 23.6 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals. It looked decent in the box score until you saw the 8 turnovers and the 6 of 15 shooting. But overall, decent game, just needs to make better decisions with the ball. Turned it over in some key moments. Thankfully, they still got the win. Keegan Murray for the Kings had 20 points and 9 rebounds. Banchero honestly slowed down Murray's production in the first half. Murray wasn't very aggressive offensively, wasn't looking to score as much as he probably should have, in part due to Banchero's activity defensively, but hit the most important shot of the game for the Kings to send it into overtime. It was a good battle between the two and the best game of the Summer League so far. I don't know how you can top sudden death overtime unless you get it again, but we'll see if anyone can. Pistons against the Wizards. Jaden Ivey had 11 points in 5 minutes before spraining his ankle on a closeout by Isaiah Todd. Ivey was just shooting a three, and Todd got in his landing space. Ivey rolled his ankle on Todd's foot, And that was it for him. He did shoot all three free throws and make all three free throws. But before he went out, he was insane. 11 points in 5 minutes, 2 of 2 from the field, hit a step back 3, a nice driving layup, 5 of 5 from the free throw line, and 2 assists as well. He made some really good passes. And he was just electrifying. He's looking the 2 games that he had, granted it was a game in 5 minutes, looked the best out of any of the top 5 prospects, in my opinion. Jaden Ivey looked like he had the best summer, like he's had the best summer league so far. But he sprained his ankle, and he is probably done for the summer league because I don't think the Pistons want to mess with putting him back in at this point. And Ivey said there's nothing to be worried about. He told the Pistons fans that he's fine, and that, they should get excited. The Pistons fans should be excited for what they got. The Pistons did end up winning that game against Washington by a solid amount. Actually, that's not true. It was closer at the end, but they were up by 20 for the majority of the first and second half until the very end. The Wizards made a late push. But Jaden Ivey, 11 points in 5 minutes, was just spectacular. He really was. It was unfortunate to see him go down with that ankle injury. Chet against Jabari in the Thunder-Rockets matchup last night. Neither had a great offensive game. Chet was amazing defensively, though, aside from getting absolutely destroyed by Eric Holman on the dunk early in the game. Jabari had his moments, did some little things well, made maybe the biggest play of the game for the Rockets, diving on the floor for a loose ball that gave Houston the ball back with less than 15 seconds left. He called timeout, too, to make sure they kept the possession. After they took a one-point lead, the possession before on a tie-tie Washington floater. And he played really good defense on the last play of the game on Josh Giddey while he was driving to the hoop to seal the win. But overall, they both struggled. Chet, 12 points on 3 of 10 shooting. Jabari, 12 points, 5 of 19 shooting. 2 of 9 from 3. It was a pretty atrocious offensive effort from him. But it was still a good game between the two teams. 90-88 was the final score. Rockets get the win. Josh Christopher had 19 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists. Much better job of getting his teammates involved in this game. Tari Eason, his second straight double-double, 14 points and 11 rebounds, the rookie from LSU. Looking like the best of the three so far for the Rockets in terms of Eason, Smith, and Washington. Dacian Nix had 16. Every Thunder starter was in double figures, led by Jalen Williams with 15. That's the Jalen Williams from Santa Clara, the number 12 overall pick. But the Rockets got their first win after a poor showing in game one, beating the Thunder 90-88. Dyson Daniels, the number 8 pick in the draft, sprained his ankle in his debut with the Pelicans in an 85-68 loss. He played just 8 minutes, 1 point on 0 of 5 shooting. Tough break for him and Jaden Ivey. Other standouts include Daniels' teammate Trey Murphy from the Pelicans, 23 points, 8 rebounds, 4 steals. Trendon Watford for the Blazers had 17 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Kenneth Lofton, we talked about him earlier for the Grizzlies, 18 points in 15 minutes off the bench last night. Jordan Shackle for the Washington Wizards had 24 points. His teammate, Johnny Davis, a bit of a disappointing debut. 6 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 of 11 from the field in 28 minutes. Hopefully we'll see a better showing from him in future games. Isaiah Livers put up 20 in that game as well, the Pistons-Wizards game for Detroit. Michael Mulder for the Heat had 23 off the bench in their win against the Celtics. And Namish Keita, the big man against the Kings, I forgot to mention this when we were talking about that game. He had 23 points and 8 rebounds against the Orlando Magic. Armani Brooks and Isaiah Joe, they put on a shooting clinic against each other in the Raptors-Sixers game. Armani Brooks had 25 points, 9 of 18 shooting, 5 of 12 from 3 off the bench. And then Isaiah Joe for Philly, 24 points, 7 of 9 from 3. He just, when you were watching him, it was like he couldn't miss. I love the Summer League. It's a great time. Literally everyone from around the league is there. From front office members to head coaches to current players to legends, they're all there supporting the young guys who have countless amazing stories as to how they got there. Ish Wainwright, playing for the Suns now, Played football and basketball at Baylor. Had a tryout with the Buffalo Bills. Said basketball was his fourth favorite sport growing up behind football, baseball, and swimming. And now he's playing with the Suns in the Summer League. He did actually play for Phoenix in the NBA last year. But the second generation players, Scottie Pippen Jr., Shaquille O'Neal, Kevin Zhang, two high school championships at La Lumiere and Montverde. And then he played overseas in China for 2 years where he was Rookie of the Year, All-Star Game MVP, and Dunk Contest Champion in his first season there. Now he's getting a shot with the Suns as well. Amar Sylla, who had a great game for the Cavs, 19 points, 7 of 7 shooting, won a championship 3 years in a row overseas with three different clubs, now getting his shot in Cleveland. Rob Baker, playing for the Thunder, used to be an intern for the G League. Worked at the NBA offices as an intern for the G League's business operations department, and now playing with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Trevelyan Queen, playing for the Sixers, he was the G League MVP and Finals MVP, who had no offers coming out of high school, signed a deal with the Sixers this offseason, but he didn't know about it when it happened. He was on a family cruise, and his agent told him before the trip, if he couldn't reach him, because, you know, there's no cell service in the middle of the ocean, he would take what he thought was the best deal. So the Sixers came calling, made the 2 year, I think it was $3.9 or $3.6 million offer. Queen's agent couldn't reach Trevelyan, so his agent accepted it, and Queen found out about the deal once he got back from the cruise. Namish Keita, we've talked about him a little bit, from Brazil, playing for the Kings, was introduced to basketball by following his sister to practice one day, just fell in love with it and has played ever since. And then obviously the Boeheims brothers playing for Detroit, I think Buddy and Jimmy, I think, is the other one. So that's a cool story too. So many amazing stories from around the Summer League is what makes it great. It's really what makes it great. It's not the competition, even though it is fun to watch, just the stories of how these guys got there, because they're the underdogs. They're all the underdogs. The stories of how they all got there are probably one of the most entertaining things that's part of the Summer League every year. Before we go, we have to talk about Kevin Durant, don't we? Kevin Durant watch is still going on. He has not gone anywhere. Just so you know, he's still in Brooklyn. Woj reports that the Nets want an all-star player and several first-round picks. And they want all they can get. They're looking at multi-team deals that could land them the biggest return ever. And who wouldn't? It's Kevin Durant. But, like, we might see the biggest trade of all time with this Kevin Durant deal. He's gone quiet. NBA stars have tried reaching out to him since his tweet, but he's not responding to anybody, supposedly. The Nets offered the Timberwolves KD for Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, and four unspecified picks, likely all first rounders. Like, they are out of their mind with some of the things that they're asking. I saw this report, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know if it was fake or it had to be fake. Saying the Nets asked the Lakers for LeBron, AD, and five first round picks for Kevin Durant. Like, you got to be on something to think that they're actually going to give you that. Now, yes, Kevin Durant, it's hard to get an even return for him, so you got to ask for another superstar in return. But two guys, LeBron and AD for Kevin Durant, come on. Anyway, the market is frozen. I don't think we're going to see a deal anytime soon. And honestly, when training camp rolls around this fall, I'm expecting Kevin Durant to be in Brooklyn still. I really am, because this is such a difficult situation for the Nets to be in, especially with Ben Simmons on the roster. With Simmons on the roster, they can't trade for Andrew Wiggins and package him in a deal with Golden State with, like, Wiseman, Poole, and Kuminga. And then you can't trade for Donovan Mitchell, who's supposedly committed to Utah, even though they're clearly rebuilding around him. But I think he should get out of there. They can't trade for him. They can't trade for Bam Adebayo from the Heat. They can't trade for Devin Booker from the Suns. The Heat and the Suns are where Durant wants to be. But a logical deal just doesn't exist. It doesn't exist because of the contract situation with the designated rookie extension that Ben Simmons signed and the trade rule that comes with that. This is going to be very, very difficult to orchestrate. Now, we could see some talks start to develop because all the GMs, all the owners, all the head coaches are in Las Vegas right now, and it's a lot easier to have face-to-face verbal conversation than it is over the phone. So we might see some developments come out of this, but at the same time, I'm really not expecting much to get done just because of the complexity of this deal that would have to come with, you know, trading Kevin Durant. And as for Kyrie Irving, the Nets and Lakers are kind of stalled in terms of talking to each other. I think they are waiting to trade Kevin Durant first or see what happens with him first before they move Kyrie Irving. That sounds kind of like the plan. It's going to be Durant first, then Irving. And once Durant is gone, I think it's pretty much a lock that Kyrie ends up in LA. I've seen multiple reports that say it's not a matter of if, but when Kyrie lands with the Lakers. So we'll see how that works out. But again, that's not an easy deal either. Westbrook's contract is worth $11 million more than Kyrie Irving's, 47-36, compared with the player options that they both took this year. And the Nets really aren't that interested in Russell Westbrook. So it's just hard. I don't think anything is going to get done really for a while. And when this trade does happen, it's not going to be one-on-one. It's going to be at least three, probably likely four teams. I don't know about a fifth team. I don't think I've ever seen a five-team trade. But my guess is it's going to be a four-team trade that gets Kevin Durant where he wants to go, whether that be Phoenix or Miami or somewhere else surprising like Toronto, who are apparently lurking. That was the word that was used in the talks for Durant. But they don't want to give up Scottie Barnes. And that's who the Nets would want. So it's just a very difficult situation right now. And I don't expect Kevin Durant to be moved anytime soon, which means Kyrie is staying in place likely as well. It is going to be certainly an interesting thing to keep an eye on, but I wouldn't be surprised if nothing happens for a while. We will be back soon with another podcast recapping more Summer League action and more updates around the league.